AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry, with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development, with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. oracle.com/bandwidth.
Well, Merry Christmas, Mike, Rob, and Josh. May your holiday be filled with all the peace, love, and warmth of the season. And maybe, just maybe, a little snow on Christmas morning.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi.
Hey.
Some of it really fine.
Mike, a lot of it's really marvelous, really fine.
Last week when Josh was a little under the weather, I grabbed a couple of pieces of video. Josh, I did send you a couple of things this morning because Rob enjoyed these, and then it turned out that our listeners really loved them as well.
Yeah.
In fact, somebody sent me one, and this is they can be called Elvis Shreds. They can be called Elvis Without Music.
Yeah.
I am addicted to them. And I have two for you today that you will enjoy.
I love it. Thank you.
I know this one, and I think I agree, this may have been the best Elvis Without Music that we've seen in a long time. So to get you started during your holiday season for a little chuckle, if you happen to be watching us on video today.
Mike, hold on 1 second. They're saying in the chat room they're not getting audio. Are we okay? We got 4 or 5 people saying that they're not getting audio on this.
Really?
Screen. Yeah.
Let's double check then.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at that. Never heard of that issue.
That's the live people, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are recording.
We are.
Buddy Rich has a live album where I memorized what he said. We are recording. We have been recording, but we're recording for tonight and the next two nights. So if you don't like what you did last night, come back and re-record with us tomorrow. Hey, you know? That's Buddy.
Groovy. Was that Buddy Rich in a turtleneck with a medallion era?
That is a long era that he was wearing. I think he goes, we are recording. We have been recording, but we're recording all night tonight and tomorrow night. So if you don't like what you did tonight, come back and re-record with us tomorrow. You know, hey, come on.
Yeah, groovy. Let's get back on the bus and have a jam.
That's Buddy Rich, probably 1968. That's how great that recording is.
Was that
at the Shea in California, Swingin' New Big Band?
That's great. That's, you know what?
When probably I was the best album he's ever done.
When I was an intern, you challenged me to find that album for you.
Oh God! And you
a
got
million years, but you've got it on CD now, right?
Yeah, I've got it
on compact disc, like all us old men have.
Everything's digital. So is the audio okay with people? Can we communicate?
We will find
with
out
them?
In a moment. I just restarted the YouTube and the Facebook and all that.
All right, but we're still recording to the stream,
yeah, we're
right?
still recording, and the backup recording's going, so.
Okay.
Let's see. Check. No sound. Rob is in heaven. Why is Rob in heaven?
Because it's like a silent movie. These are funny people, Mike.
None for me either.
That's those are all.
820.
Those are old.
Let's see. Old.
Those are old. All yeah. right.
And let's see, I'm going on my
Would
phone.
You like something to fill the time, Mike?
Yeah.
Just a little something.
Still no audio. What's going on?
Here we go. Mike, this will fix it. I'm pretty sure. In 3, 2, and...
There's more coming up with Roberto Plaid, Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
Rob, you want to tell the people commenting that we're working on it?
Hey, everybody, we're working on it. Oh, you mean in the chat room?
Yeah, they're not going to hear that.
I was having
Smokey,
to speak
you moron.
If you're having
Mike,
trouble,
tell the story of Smokey. Yet. This is great.
All right, so we were having trouble with our signal at WAVA. Man. And Smokey decided that he would cut a promo that said, if you're having trouble listening to that, well, if you're having trouble, why is the promo going out over the area more? But we didn't have email back then. So,
no,
you know,
no.
But we had, that. You know what we did have? Peppered vodka.
I am seeing other shows are having the same problem this morning with StreamYard.
Really?
Yeah. So we are going to turn off the stream and just have to record, and then we can put out the video later today.
Okay.
All right. I will say as much.
Yeah, go ahead and say that, and then I'll cut it out.
Okay.
All right, well, that's a shame, StreamYard.
Yeah. That's a new that's
finicky
a new
technology. A little finicky. StreamYard's a little finicky occasionally, but that's all right. We'll deal with it. We'll do a workaround.
Yeah.
And then when we get that, what are you typing? Like an hour-long message to people? All right. Our stream provider is having some issues this AM. Not just us. Audio will be available on the recording. Do you really type that slowly?
I do, Mike. As a matter of fact, I do. You can hear it.
Click, click.
Do you know what is really great is I got a contract. You know, I know you do some voiceover stuff. I got a contract from Comcast where they recorded me typing that they play on their AI. That's my typing.
No, those are quick.
But they're fake.
All right.
There we go.
Ah, rats. Okay. All right. Message delivered, and that's it. I'll get out of that. And
all right. And we are... still recording, just not streaming at the moment.
All right. We are recording. We have been recording for the past 2 nights, but we're all night tonight.
Stick around.
If you can find that, if that is some within the next 24 hours, it might be fun to play that because I listen to it so much on the live recorded in Los Angeles of Buddy Rich that he comes out. No, you can make noise because we are recording. We have I have to find it. Now.
Where
no,
is what song is he? What is it adjacent to on the
Norwegian
album?
Wood?
That you know what? I've heard that, and that is an ill chosen song for Buddy Rich's Turtleneck to do because it's a downbeat
record.
That is
record. So wrong. It's a beautiful, beautiful version of it. It's actually one of the most amazing arrangements ever recorded that Buddy Rich did. But you don't like it because it's your sacred cow Beatles.
Yeah,
that's
and
what it.
Mike,
you don't like it.
It just doesn't seem suited to him, to me. I mean, and maybe I haven't heard it in years. That was my thought when I had it.
I love it.
Now, here's something about that song that makes me appear silly and stupid. You know that the Norwegian Wood has a parenthetical after the title. It says, "This bird has flown."
Has flown, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And for years and years, and God knows I've listened to a lot of Beatles records, I thought in the song they say, "Whispered the phone," but it's "This bird has flown."
Really? That's what you thought?
Yeah. I was alone, whispered the phone. And I just thought, that's some of John Lennon's weird imagery. And then it turned out, no, it's in the title, you idiot.
Well, so. There was a period of time with the Beatles where this back in the album days where you play it on the regular where it's like, I buried Paul. They would put Easter
eggs messages,
in their albums for people.
And then for years deny that they did it.
Right.
At the end, he says, I buried Paul at the end of...
It's Big Swing Face, I think.
That's
I'm not sure, but let me see. Let me see if I've got... Nope, that's not it. No.
But the at the end of Strawberry Fields, you can hear, I buried Paul. Oh. And then for years after, they said, no, we're saying cranberry sauce.
Got it.
You have nailed it.
No, you can make noise because we are recording... All night. We have been recording for the past 2 nights. We'll be recording all night tonight and tomorrow night. So if you don't like what you did tonight, come on back and re-record with us tomorrow. Okay?
This is my idol, Josh Soroka, right here.
I understand.
And this is the song Rob doesn't believe Buddy should play.
Well, no, I just think it's ill-suited is all.
Here we go. Buddy Rich, Norwegian Wood. From the album Big Swing Face.
It's got a good marching band quality to it.
F you. We're not playing it anymore. You don't deserve to hear it.
Mike, you know what, though? I did get for you many years ago. You challenged me to find that. I didn't find but I brought you Sammy Davis Jr., The Sounds of 66, that has Buddy Rich's band on it, which is a great album.
Was that at the Sands Hotel?
It would seem like it should be because Sammy played the Sands, but
and
I can't verify
Sammy's
that.
Recording at the Sands. Like you recorded it on a you know, on a tiny little reel-to-reel in somebody's bathroom.
Yeah.
But getting back to the beginning of the show before we got sidetracked with the audio issues. Last week, Rob enjoyed this, and our listeners really enjoyed it. And somebody sent me one that said, this is the best one of our... I have to agree.
Okay.
Elvis Without Music. Play the Elvis clip for Rob Spiewak right now. I think he's going to win.
Rob, I see this cook my soul.
Okay, this is from Viva Las Vegas.
There's a thousand pretty women waiting up there, and they all look at them. And I just did the love steps of fever. Last week.
I think those
are great.
Spectacular, but we can't confine it to Elvis because there's a great one from the Rolling Stones.
A great one.
A great one. Tell me what you think of
okay.
Rolling Stones without music.
Yeah. Oh, start me up. It's just the sound of mixed feet on the ground.
Listen up.
You know what's amazing about this? Is even in this silly setting, Charlie Watts still looks cool.
Yeah.
The clapping?
It's so effing. I know they've been around for a while, folks.
Yeah.
But. This is just the Rolling Stones without music.
It's no music. It's,
oh. I friggin' love it. All right, that's enough. That's enough. You can enjoy it on your own. That is just
you
fun.
Know.
That
one a listener sent me one. Josh, could you do a quick search to see if it comes up easy? It's the David Bowie and Mick Jagger singing "Dancing in the Streets" with no audio. Or no, no.
Well,
music.
That's a long haul to do that. Let's do that on
right,
your own time.
We'll do that.
We got a show to do. So, yeah, it's just tough to find that on the fly. He'll find it though because he's obsessive compulsive that way.
Yeah,
he'll
I've
find
got it
that
right
one.
Here.
Oh, you do. See how quick he is. Fantastic.
He's the best.
Downloaded.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, they've been around for a while, but it requires effort to put those things together and
finding
are...
the right clip. The thing about the Elvis is the half-assed Elvis impersonation singing lightly. I like
yes.
that. Yeah,
yep.
I think that's
yep.
very,
it
very
works.
Good.
It works,
here
ladies
is
and gentlemen.
Dancing in the Street.
Okay,
this is another good one. You remember this from Live Aid, of course. So. He's breathing hard because he's running in place.
Calling out around the world, getting ready for a brand new baby. Someone was here and the top is right. For dancing in the street, dancing God. In New Orleans, in New York City.
Okay, we get
okay,
it.
That's
we
enough.
It. That's awesome.
It's
oh, my
good
God.
Fun.
Could
good
watch
fun.
Those all day long. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi,
everybody.
Mike.
Glad to have you along on a very beautiful Tuesday. I got, as I mentioned before at the beginning of the show, got some great news that my daughter, my middle child, will be coming to join us after the Christmas holiday for New Year's Eve. And I am so excited for that. It changes what is literally my least favorite holiday of the year, New Year's Eve. Cannot stand it. And turning it
I know
into
you've always
special.
Called it Amateur's Night.
Amateur Night. Amateur Night. Yeah, absolutely.
But
so is St. Patrick's Day.
What is there anything about it that you like? Have you ever had a great New Year's Eve? A great one?
No, I don't think I have. I don't like I don't like the forced nature of it where You're expected to party. Yeah. I've never been really, as much as I love a cocktail, and yeah. I love partying, and I yep. love being around people and partying, I don't know if I've ever been into the big event where, yeah. you know, whether it be a sporting event, whether it be a concert or
you're the
clubbing.
Worst at concerts. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way, but you are. You leave after the first song.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. So that the New Year's Eve is just everybody shoulder to shoulder, with the and it's just I don't know. I know that people. I'll give you my idea of hell.
Okay.
My idea, if I die and there is a hell and I'm going to hell, you right. drop me down into a 6 degree temperature Times Square, oh. people waiting for the ball drop with no. facilities
and no alcohol allowed,
and you know people are pissing in their pants there.
Of course,
they've
they
been
are.
There for 8 hours, mm-hmm. and it's just nastiness. Yeah. I've never, and it's look at me, and all they want to do. It's the same thing with the people that go out to see the Today Show in New York, and they
You're
go
right.
out there and they're they're standing there waiting in bitter cold weather.
I can't believe we never did that when we were up there. We should have done that at least once.
I did it with my daughters.
Oh, did you?
But
I did not know that.
But they didn't stay because they didn't want to. And I thought how evolved they were. It's the same thing. No, this is going to offend you. I'm sorry.
No,
it's
go ahead. I can take it.
It's the same thing where they would go to Universal Studios and we'd go in for 2.5 hours and we'd split because right. they'd get bored because they hated the whole scene.
You see, Mike, that's not getting your money's worth.
I know, but that's where you're – I think that's at the core of why you stay.
Yeah.
Because you want to get your every nickel,
every
out of
nickel
being in the
yeah.
The park.
But also, I do enjoy it. You know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. So I kind of I like the theme park thing. But
but the kids Hershey. they what's that?
Yeah,
as
not
long as
Hershey.
It's not Hershey.
Yeah, may Hershey that place burn that to the ground. To
By the
yeah.
way, I have to give a shout out to our friend, and I think it's okay if I mention her first name, Christy, who's got whose son is one of Michael's best friends, and they have offered, and we have agreed. That they will be taking my son along with his buddy Finn up to Universal Studios.
Oh, that's pretty great.
I think it's about the greatest thing in the whole world. I remember Carla said, so they're going to Universal. They want to know if it's okay to take my – yes.
Is it like an overnight trip or a day trip?
I think it's an overnight.
That's awesome. We had a family.
But I don't know.
We had a family that was a big Disney family, like a pin trading Disney family that would go to Disney World all the time. And two or three times they took Julia. And they just wanted, you know, to have a playmate for their daughter.
Yeah, you want to have the friend going along, which makes
and
it a
if you're
totally
the friend's parents,
experience.
It's like a magical gift. You're very, 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 very lucky.
I am so, so grateful for that. So anyway.
So you can stay and puke at home.
I'll never go again.
I know,
I will never set
I know,
foot.
That was Disney, though.
That was Guardians of the Galaxy. What's it called?
Oh, it's
Guardians.
The worst.
It's yeah. It was horrible.
Rewind coaster or something like that.
It's a rewind coaster, whatever, where it's dark and vomit ensued.
Yeah, what you should ride, Mike, are the teacups.
Yeah.
No, that's the second worst.
It's the same motion. Goes all the way back to the octopus at the Grange Fair in Glastonbury, Connecticut, where my sister, when I was 5 years old, got me to go on this ride and said, it's not scary, it's not scary. They put the bar across us, and she goes, it's really scary. And I went,
And that's when you and Kathy were 35 and 39 years old.
No, so it's one of the very early examples yeah. of the routine torture. The latest being, as she is now north of 70 and I am 65, that she has indicated, and I think about it every day, that my new puppy dog, Stubby Potato,
yes.
is not a Boston Terrier. That he's
Mike,
actually
he is.
A pit bull.
He is.
Rob, oh. this dog does not look like a classic Boston Terrier.
She put that in your head just to torment you.
She yeah. did. But it works.
You're all, no matter how old you get, you will always be siblings, and she will always screw with you. That dog
that
is what
why
it comes to
when
me.
Kathy and Paul come to visit, and we are there with them alone, we have a phenomenal time. As soon as you introduce other people to the equation, it all goes south. And I am the little brother to be tortured
yep.
and mocked and whispered about. And that's normal. That is the, at least it was normal. It was normal in my family. That's the way. But getting back to Stubby Potato.
My family always treated me as an equal, Josh.
That's wonderful because you were an only
right.
child.
The only child.
That's right.
From I a was. Broken home.
Mike, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show lately, but when I was in second grade, my parents divorced and I grew up in a broken home.
And you, you know, you were traded back and forth like a trading card.
Yes.
Between the mother's home and the father's home. Right?
And they always complained. They said, when I gave this boy to you, he was in mint condition.
Yeah. Do you blame yourself for their split?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was born out of wedlock, you know. Conceived in a drive-in movie theater.
So technically
no one wants that
bastard?
Surprise. Mike, still am.
But doesn't that change when the parents get married? And they did get married.
No, Mike, you can never really shake the aroma of bastard once it's been handed to you.
This is the great thing about this show. How many years? 35?
Together, you and I? 34 in April, I think.
34 years.
Yeah. No, 33 in April, forgive me. Anytime you pass 30, it's pretty remarkable, I think.
Over 30 years, because if it's under 30, if it's 33 or under, you say over 30 years. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
And we still come into this studio, and I still am able to discover new things about you.
Well, we have a long list of
things. We've never had a bastard discussion.
Mike, we have a long list of stuff we've prepared, all three of us, stuff we want to talk about, and we are now 20 minutes into the program. We haven't touched on any of them. But yes.
Because you just said that you were a bastard.
Yeah, this is more interesting.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. Here's how I can tell the story. My folks, my mom a little older than my dad, not much, not like a Mrs. Robinson situation, but they were dating in high school. Good-looking couple. If you look back at pictures of them, my dad was handsome, my mom
lovely.
What was
the age difference between the two?
Like 6 or 7 months. They're still, I mean, they were still in the same class, okay. Like the class of 69.
Why don't you call me when you have no class?
So they were dating, and it was the summer of 1970, and there was a drive-in movie theater in Falls Church. And I've not been able to determine what movie they saw that night, but I do
thought
know
they were at a Halloween dance.
What? No. No, well,
the
no,
famous
no.
artist. I thought they were. I really do.
I remember
this
that.
Is Reba McEntire. Happy Halloween.
Ooh. Mike, in 1969, you know Reba was only 40. So
yeah, this is true. Yeah.
So they went to a drive-in theater. I don't know what was showing. I tried to determine what it was, and obviously they didn't know what was showing that night because that was the night I was conceived. And it was very ugly. It was a long summer for my father because my Uncle Bruce, my late Uncle Bruce, who you know from, he's been out to a couple of our Vegas shows when he was living. And
nice
he'd put speakers in the window of the beach house. And when my father was out in the street, he would play the song Love Child by the Supremes.
Oh, my God. So he would torture his brother.
Yep.
He was the older brother.
Yeah. And the oldest brother of all. See, my father lost his dad when my father was a freshman in high school, I think. Why about there?
That.
And the oldest brother, Tommy, who's also dead now, and he would pull Bob aside and he says, "You know, you're never going to have fun another day the rest of your life."
Wow.
Which is another dick move.
Siblings always torment each other.
Siblings.
Siblings is the new best one.
That's
this show's
a great
got every
one.
Element today. This show has every element today. Siblings. That's what
so,
it is.
So my parents married in October of 1970. And there's pictures of the wedding. It was great. It was at St. John's, now St. John's the Beloved, but St. John's Catholic Church in McLean, Virginia.
It's really renamed St. John's the Beloved?
St. John the Beloved, yeah.
St. John the Beloved.
It's one of those modernish octagonal Catholic churches, but I don't think
they
were really.
Yeah, we had that at Marist College when I saw the guy that I beat up the night before.
Oh, that's right.
I left
that's
the
right.
Catholic Church.
Yeah. I don't think they were really sweating the details when a woman with child was accepted to be married on the altar of a Catholic church. Because I remember not many years later when my grandmother died, I had to lie about my Catholicism to just do a reading.
Everybody's been there. I shouldn't say everybody, but people have been there. I know what you're talking about. I mean, it's the whole Catholic thing.
So they married, and it was a lovely wedding, I'm told, and that was October. I was born the following March, the 8th of March, and they...
Yeah.
Sort of stuck it out for a while, but you
did
know,
she ever talk about whether she had a baby bump when she was walking down the aisle?
I looked at the wedding pictures. No, she did not show.
Okay.
Right. So I, because we strapped her down, Mike.
She was wearing Spanx.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were in there. Yeah, that's what. That's well. Thus the misshapen head.
Yeah.
That's it,
Mike. I think
the elongated head. Look, ladies and gentlemen, take a look at that. That's it.
You know? It is. And that's, you know, the camera helps it. In real life, it's even worse. It looks like one of Bing's kids.
Ba-ba-ba-boo.
So they stuck it out for a while, but I never really blamed them for splitting. They separated when I was in second or third grade and divorced when I was in fourth. But I never really blamed them in retrospect as I got older because I thought, who wants to get married at 19 and 20? You know,
they're babies. Babies
and
having babies, Rob.
It's no good. And so that's how my home was broken. But fast forward, Mike, to 1995 or so. And I was in the production room at WJFK talking to Chris Madzik, or as you called him, Stimpy. And we had the same birthday to the day. So we were talking about our birthdays, and I said, yeah, I was right at the beginning of my parents' marriage. They were married in October, and I kept doing the math, and I couldn't make October to March add up to 9 months. I kept thinking it through. I said, no, it just doesn't work. So I called my father, and I said,
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You're talking about how old at this point?
24.
And that's the first time?
I started doing the math in my head, and I called my dad, and he said,
"That's not totally." I mean, you are not.
You assume that you know everything's right, don't you?
I don't know because in the matter of 2 months, but I know you are a passive dude, so you don't sweat stuff. I mean, you really don't. You don't.
Well,
sweat
I mean,
stuff.
If someone,
I just don't know if you would ever did the subject. I mean, if you're 24, the subject had to come up on TV or something like that.
Well, I mean, of course it did, but I never assumed I was among that crowd. I just knew that my parents got married and then they had a baby because, you know what? That's what you do. You get married and you have a baby.
All right.
I mean, on paper, it looks okay, except for the fact that a kid that would have been born 3 months premature still weighed nearly 9 pounds.
And they kept it from you.
They did. No, it never came up. And the whole family knew. It just never came up. And so I called my father.
You're a man. You're a grown man. And
a grown man. And I, well, no, they just never told me. That's not a lie. That's a lie by omission.
That's a lie by omission, still a lie. And the whole family knew?
Well, I mean, yes. I think once the wedding was announced and in such urgency, I think it was probably a rather hot topic around
both families.
Josh, you
were going to say something. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just trying to put myself in Rob's shoes. And I think
I am too.
I think I'm the same as Rob. I think I wouldn't have thought about it.
I might not have either. I don't think it's impossible to know what you would have
done. Because the math almost works out. It almost does. I mean, a summer wedding followed by a spring baby. It works unless it's the end of summer and the beginning of spring. That's when it gets a little dicey.
The thing about Rob, and one of the personality traits, he knows this, that drives me nuts about Rob is
my
Rob's
physical beauty.
Your passivity, because I'm kind of the opposite. I get worked up about BS that I shouldn't get worked up about. Rob doesn't get. You have a nuclear explosion, and Rob would say, "Well, we'll have lunch first, and then we'll move out of the blood."
Mike, it probably has a lot to do. If you want to get deep, it probably has a lot to do with all the stuff I've been through.
So you're 24.
With my family, yeah.
You call your father now.
As a parent. It wouldn't come up. Like, I wouldn't think I need to tell my kids that.
I would agree with that. So, you noodle it through, as you just said. What jogged you to do it when you were at the radio station?
Because as I said, Stimpy and I had the exact same birthday. And we were talking about being born in March 8th of 1971. And I believe the course of the conversation was, and I came really early in my folks' marriage. And he said, when were they married? And I said, I think it was October 14th, I think. And then, no, it was an August wedding. Makes it even more close. So it was late August.
November, December, January.
February. All right, so if it was August and then March.
You're at the 7 months. So it is
close. I would never put two and two together.
Yeah, so it's
pretty
close.
That's different, though. So if it's October, it's different because that's 4 months.
Yeah.
So if it's August, you're right up at the.
I was thinking of my mom's birthday as opposed to her anniversary. So,
okay, so that,
besides,
yeah,
it's not an it's not something we observe every year. Although I have found out in retrospect, every year on their anniversary, my folks call each other, and I think that's really sweet. Just to
on,
you know,
on the anniversary of their wedding or the
no, the anniversary of the pregnancy. No, of course the wedding anniversary.
So the fact that there is only a roughly 2 months, maybe a little less, separation.
They had to work fast.
I wouldn't think about it. So you're really noodling it through. Goes there. Yeah. Are you thinking to yourself, is there any way that this could be a
I kept doing. I mean, I believe I even got out like a sheet of paper and started drawing things because it just didn't jive.
As you're doing this.
I was like Columbo. It's like, some of this just doesn't add up, man.
As you're doing this, what's your state of mind? Are you getting a little freaked? Are you getting angry? Where's your head at when you're doing this? When you're noodling this through at the age of 24?
I want the answer. I just want to know what happened or what's up. And so I did call my father. He was working and he was in his office. And I said, hey, he said, what's up? We exchanged pleasantries. I said, hey, I was just doing some thinking with Stimpy because he knew Stimpy too. And I said, your wedding and my birthday don't really add up. And there was like a 4-beat pause. And he said, I wondered when you'd figure this out.
Did he say it like that? Yeah. Did he really say it that? He's more chill than you are.
He really is. He's a great dad.
Right.
But
they've had a family bet on when will Rob figure it out.
That could be. That could be as well. But then afterwards, I told my mom about figuring it out, and that's when I got all the details about it. But yeah, technically, Mike, still a bastard, and I wear it with pride.
Let's play the clip.
You snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object! And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose.
I just like
your
the
Honor,
clip. You that's the only reason.
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook.
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor.
Consider yourself in contempt.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question.
Okay. Anyway, I could have gone on and on. I get so captivated.
Some of it really fine.
Yes. So he said, I was wondering when you'd ask. Is that it?
In that clip, my dad was Nicholson, right? And yes. I was Tom Cruise. I just want to make sure I got it right. Yeah. And then that's when all the details came out. And you know what? Were you angry? No. No. In a way, it was kind of a relief. You would be angry?
Oh, yeah.
How could you be angry when they stayed together for, 10 or 11 years and as man and wife and raised me? I mean, it doesn't change anything in my eyes.
They didn't stay together, right?
Yeah, but for a while they did. For a while they did. Yeah,
no, but
and I mean, for a while
I still,
there was
I would
no...
have been, at 24, I would have been grateful for them to let me know.
Yeah, well, remember, they never let me know. I figured it out. And I mean, it wasn't like a massive dive into microfiche at the library. It was just.
By the way, I admire you. I think that I wish I was more like that. I put it in my show prep today that I wanted to talk about my psychoanalysis from a guy that I played golf with yesterday. Mm-hmm. I wish stuff didn't get. It's a personality thing. I think it is.
And when there's
Rob
certain,
just came out with a new project out of this. Where once he solved that, it was, I got to figure out the movie.
That's right. Well, actually, you know what? That I was telling this story years and years ago to Katie Von Herman, and she wanted to know the movie.
Did he apologize to you?
No. Why should he apologize?
Well, he should apologize.
For giving him life?
Yeah.
No, for saying that he kept it from you.
No. Here's the thing. It's never like he came out and said, hey, you know what? You were born right after we got married, and we were conceived. He never tried to give the impression.
When you're talking about from 18 to 24,
yeah,
all right. When you're talking about 6 years of being an adult,
yeah,
with gatherings and dinners and beers and lunches and dinner, I would think that at some point the subject would have been broached. But that is the way
Should have came up when he was talking about why he divorced your mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's when it would have came up.
Well, that wasn't the primary. It was the beatings. My mom was merciless to him.
Now, when did you address it with your mom after that?
I think that day. And
you called
her too? Yeah, and I think she was, this is a long time ago, mind you, but I kind of remember her being like a little ashamed, but also relieved that it was out. And that could just be my interpretation of how she was with it. But, you know, as you talk about being mad, and if you think about it from my eyes and look through it through my lens, even though they split, and I joke about being from a broken home, I couldn't have had a more stable family life growing up because of extended family. And the fact that my folks were so high road, I think they still, in a way, love each other because they've been through so much together. They just weren't right together. I never saw them fight. I never saw them say a bad thing about the other person. They were just
really
good
people.
Yeah. And
my daughters are the exact same way. No, I didn't. And Josh can agree. He's the same way with his.
Of course.
No, it's hard. It's hard.
It's got to be hard. It's got to be hard. And I admire them for going through with it and making a try at it.
Did they ever discuss the reasons outside of just being young that they broke up? Because there's
I have a theory is that my dad never really got to be a young adult because at age 19, he was married. That's think about where you were at 19. You're probably a freshman in college.
But specifically, did they ever talk about the reasons?
No. And I can't remember anything happening at the time that was like that. I do remember trying to talk them into staying together back then. But now, God, we're talking, wow, like almost 50 years ago.
That you're a baby.
Yeah, I was in elementary school, so near like 45.
Do you have any
years
theories
ago
as to why it? Have you ever thought about it?
Yeah, I think my dad's gay.
Do you think your dad had a wandering wiener?
No, I don't. I don't know.
You
at
don't.
All. No.
Okay. All
right. Because you know what? In that time that they were together, and he's very straight, by the way. Not that it matters. His pronouns are he and him, Mike.
Excellent.
If you want to talk to him.
Thank you.
We had a very solid family life. I mean, I remember us being at home every night and watching TV, having dinner together, all that stuff. So I never felt the impression of them having any friction. And I think kids can be sensitive to that. You know, when there is sort of like a tension in the air or a unhappiness, I never felt that. They just seemed like, you know, my folks.
All right. That's
and,
cool.
Yeah. And as far as anger, you know, I think if you said you would be angry, I think if you rethink that, you were in my exact, you wouldn't be angry.
Let me do it.
Okay.
I'm going to rethink it.
Thank you.
I'd be pissed off. I would.
You are
super pissed.
You are so,
I would.
So Irish.
I would be so pissed off. How the F could you not tell me that? What were you thinking? Were you that embarrassed? You two suck. I am never speaking to you again. And then by the time you're dead, you're blowing spit bubbles all by yourself in the bed.
Yeah.
I would wonder what other secrets are there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, there's the conspiracy theory. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Hey,
I don't think there's many secrets.
See? That's why there are.
I know.
If you love a little drinky in the evening but hate waking up with that awful cloudy head, I've got just the thing. I'm talking about Soul's out-of-office microdosed THC gummies. Did you know that you can buy hemp-derived THC products legally anywhere in the U.S. through our partner, Soul? Yeah, you can. Soul's new out-of-office gummies are perfectly microdosed with hemp-derived THC and CBD to give any day that chilling on the beach vibe. Out-of-office gummies give you that warm, fuzzy, euphoric microdosed feeling without sending you to the moon, Alice. You can go for a jog, watch your favorite TV show, or head out to a party, whatever. And you'd say that too.
Whatever. You know, Carrie and I have been through two batches already. We both use them, and Carrie loves them.
Yeah,
and they're fantastic.
It's the primary reason Rob never got angry at his mom and dad for him out of wedlock.
Yeah,
they
love pot too.
And their effect is wondrous. Microdoses of THC keep me feeling good without the anxious thoughts. Soul can help with sleeplessness, anxiety, focus, and pain. And Soul's products are grown right here in the USA, organically farmed and gluten-free. This holiday season, give the gift of Soul. Head to GetSoul.com and use code TMOS for 30% off your order. That's 30% off your order using code TMOS. One last time, GetSoul.com and code TMOS for 30% off, ladies and gentlemen.
And Mike, you didn't even mention how good they taste.
They're yummy.
Oh, they're so good.
Yummy, gummy, yummy, gummy, yummy.
Yummy gummies.
Yes, yummy gummies, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, what are your goals for the upcoming holiday season? International travel, connecting with family and friends. Remember, learning a new language can mean meaningful conversations and cultural appreciation. Can you imagine chatting with your relatives from the old country in their native tongue? You can do it. You simply need Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, plus the built-in True Accent feature, you know I love this, gives you feedback on your pronunciation. I mean, this is meant for me. I love it so much. It's like having a personal trainer for your dialect. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership that offers lifetime access to all that Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, TMOS listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Listen, that's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today. Do it for yourself or as a gift that keeps on giving, ladies and gentlemen. Ho, ho, ho. It's a short Christmas season this year, so if you haven't started your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We have the solution for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's the secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. I love this place. All in one spot. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. So skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. From holiday host gifts to the coolest finds for kids to awesome stuff for any team, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Plus, with every purchase, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So make some merry this holiday season with Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TMOS. That's uncommongoods.com/TMOS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. oracle.com/bandwidth.
Going to love them.
All right.
Now,
tidbits.
Listen, I'm doing a few different things today because
I'm having
internet issues with my router recognizing my printer. So
you tell the printer it best recognize.
Yeah, recognize.
Recognize.
Recognize me and do it now.
Do it now.
The Golden Globe nominees were announced yesterday, and the big story surrounds a movie you might not have even heard of. Has anybody heard of the movie Emilia Perez? Anyone?
No, I went to school with a Robert Perez. Is that the same thing?
This is the movie. Ten nominations. That's a record for a movie in the comedy or music category. The previous record was held jointly by Barbie and 1972's Cabaret with 9 each. And stand by for a nomination that will tell me that the Golden Globes have now officially jumped the shark.
Well, they're the American Foreign Press. It's not a real organization as far as I can tell. But, Mike, you can't tell me that in 1972, Joel Grey was not underappreciated. They knew what they saw.
Oh, it's 1972.
Yeah, with Minnelli and Gray and the guy that played Austin Powers' boss.
So this movie, Emilia Perez, debuted at Cannes in May. They got picked up by Netflix. It's about a drug dealer who hires an attorney to fake his death so he can transition into a woman and live as her true self.
Now, see, Mike, that sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the first line in Wikipedia is, it's a 2024 French musical crime film. That gets me out.
Now, do you think it's a musical film about crime, or is it a film about musical crime?
I don't know. You'll
it
just
says
have
a
to
musical come. Thriller. So I guess they're singing.
Michael Jackson did a musical thriller.
In addition to being nominated for Best Picture, Musical, or Comedy, it also earned supporting actress nominations for Zoe Saldana, Lioness, and Selena Gomez.
I love Selena Gomez.
She's nominated on the TV side for your favorite, Only Murders in the Building. One of the year's biggest surprises, Pamela Anderson, nominated for Best Actress in a Drama for The Last Showgirl. Her competition includes Angelina Jolie, Nicole Kidman, Tilda Swinton, and Kate Winslet. This is also the second year they're giving an award for achievement at the box office, which is, I think, cool.
Yeah.
That's another way of saying best movie you've actually seen. The nominees are Wicked, The Wild Robot, Alien, Romulus, and that's a one
that's
movie,
one
by the way,
movie,
Alien
yes.
Romulus, Deadpool and Wolverine, Gladiator 2, Twisters, Inside Out 2, and Beetlejuice. On the TV side, FX's The Bear. That's just, all right, enough.
I know. I've not watched the new season yet.
It ain't that great.
No,
I've not even watched the new season.
It's not that good.
I know.
I don't get it. I mean, it's good. It's interesting. But come on. It's downer,
are you like me, Mike?
Downer.
Are you like me that when you tune in, you want to see a live bear?
Maul the people in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, he's living in the kitchen, and the whole plot is you can't let him get into the dining room.
Got the most nods of any show with 5. Shogun and Only Murders got 4 each. Meh. Squid Game Season 2 also nominated. Wow. Golden Globes, if you want to. I have one reason to watch it, though.
Me too.
It airs January 5th on CBS. Nikki Glaser will host. I'm all in on that. Watch that. That'll be probably moving up from the Ricky Gervais days, that similar
well, she
type
is,
of attitude.
She is really fearless. And,
she's
when
a roast comic.
She's a roast comic, but also there's very seldom a very sexy woman that can pull off comedy, and I find her very appealing. I think that helps.
All right. Okay.
And you don't. You don't.
Go to that creep line.
Jesus Christ. All right. Jay-Z is denying
speaking of which,
the new legal claim that he and Diddy drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl back in 2000. But true or not, the allegation may already be having an effect on his wife's career. Beyonce is planning a huge tour next year, and she's supposed to do the halftime show of the Texans-Ravens game on Christmas Day. And now there's speculation that the lawsuit could blow her plans out of the water, even if nothing gets canceled. This will surely cast a dark cloud on everything she's got coming up. The sexual assault allegedly occurred during an MTV VMA after party in New York on September 7th of 2000. And the plaintiff says there was an unnamed female celebrity in the room when it happened. Nobody's saying it was Beyonce. She and Jay-Z weren't even dating at the time.
Was it Chrissy Metz?
They had just met that year when she was 18 and he was 30. In a 2013 interview, Beyonce said they didn't actually start dating until a year and a half later. So we'll have to wait and see. But,
is there a statute of limitations on those crimes? Because I'm wondering that it's awfully close to 25 years that this stuff is coming out. And I'm wondering if they waited to the last minute.
When it comes to civil action, probably nay.
Is Beyonce's sister okay with all of this?
What's her name?
Solange.
Thank you for that. Chris Rock stormed off the stage in the middle of a rich guy gig over the weekend, and it may have been because someone was recording him.
So you can't report? You can't record me? What somebody got that player on? Turn it on, that camera. Get that camera.
That player.
Rock.
Turn off that player.
The player. Oh, it's the tall salad man.
Rock was doing a set at a Christmas party thrown by billionaire Anthony Pratt. He had just told this joke, quote, Our new push will be out of space. We'll put all the Mexicans on the rockets.
Yeah. Wow.
Then he apparently saw something that upset him, and he bailed, and he never came back. A witness says that on his way out, he was shouting about how he, quote, wasn't supposed to be taped, videoed, reported, or whatever else he wasn't supposed to have happen. After he left, Keith Urban, man, this is quite a private party for the billionaires.
These people that billionaires and corporate entities throw, I've read about the money they pay for like one set from a comic.
Pretty amazing.
It's insane.
Keith Urban took the stage, performed for an hour and a half. Yeah, I can't play country music.
Keith Urban did the toss salad bit, too.
We don't need Keith Urban. We need the toss salad man. So there's that. Sorry, Chris, but wonder if he got his money. Traveling through the airports can involve a lot of uncontrollable variables, I'll say. So many people slip into a treat yourself mode that ignores diets, fitness, and other normal routines.
Cost.
It's kind of like anything goes. The idea is expanding that to cope with everyday annoyances. So if you have regular things going badly, go into airport mode. If someone feels overwhelmed or exhausted with regular life, they announce airport rules are in effect. And that clears the way for eating pizza for breakfast, having a drink in the middle of the day, caffeine and energy drinks at any time, and comfortable clothes like pajamas are fair game. In one video, someone explains money means nothing. And time of day means nothing. This trend apparently started around Election Day, but as we head into the holidays, it could definitely have some legs. I had a little airport mode last night, too. Kind of, I'm driving home from Happy Valley, and Carla says, can you get supplies at the grocery store? Not a big grocery store fan. But
are
I
you
said,
like this like prepper stuff that you need, like rope and
no, this is
wood.
Empty kitchen stuff, right?
Oh, okay,
this
that is, kind of supplies. Okay.
And groceries, I pick supplies. Up bread, milk, eggs, that type of thing. And
toilet paper.
Ready for a snowstorm.
It was requested that I get cereal. And the O'Maras have been eating... We've been eating cereal.
Well, it's you know what? It's great and it's convenient and it's so good for you.
Very delicious. I get... if you're keeping... This is exactly the cereal that I decided to buy. I thought it was a good idea because it's convenient. People like it. It's got a nice sugary flavor. And who doesn't like a nice warm bowl of cereal? So, as I turned down the cigarette aisle, not the cigarette, the cereal aisle.
And
sorry,
people don't know that in Florida they
I'm making
still
it up
have,
as I go along.
Right. In Florida they still have cigarette aisles.
Yeah, it's the same aisle as the cereal.
Raisin Bran? Yes. I'll try to go in order.
Oh, I love Raisin Bran because, Mike, you'll
and they're not healthy.
Out.
None of them are healthy.
Well, Raisin Bran's okay.
No, Raisin Bran is not healthy either. Raisin Bran, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, Frosted Flakes.
Strong.
And Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Mike, that's your winner right there. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the best cereal that's being made in the mainstream right now. It's great.
I agree.
Something. Hello? I thought I heard something.
It was my father sneaking in.
So it's
Mike, do you know cereal. If you go to Cost Company, you can get a double box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch with two bags in one box.
Fabulous cereal.
And it's a great bargain. It's a bargain.
So anyway, in one video says it means nothing, time of day, nothing. The trend apparently started around Election Day, but as we head into the holidays, it could definitely have it.
That trend has been around for, Mike, that trend has been around for a million years. And when I drank, they talk about... It's okay to have a drink in the middle of the day. It's okay to have a drink first thing in the morning in an airport.
Here's the thing about cereal, though. I have to say, hopped on the scale this morning because I knew that I'd kind of gone astray. Two bowls of cereal does not equal weight gain, I'm happy to say. If you're not, you know,
did you drink the milk?
I had.
But how did four go?
The fourth bowl? I ate it dry. Dry. You'll
dry.
Eat it
We're
going
to do it dry.
We'll eat it dry. We'll eat it dry right now.
But Josh, is Bill O'Reilly at breakfast time.
Rob, do you have my John Tesh music standing by?
Because, I do, as a matter of fact. Give me one moment.
I think every day as we lead up to our holiday break, we have to play a John Tesh story here.
Yes, I agree.
A poll by Brox found candy canes are definitely a tradition. 90% agree. But now we're more likely to use them as decorations than as food. 60% use candy canes as decorations, 58% say sometimes they eat them as a treat, and 10% shove them right up their ass.
No, you can't do that, John.
Overall, We're pro candy cane, though. 80% feel nostalgia for them. 77% would describe them as refreshing. And 75% would even say delicious. Just over half of people say peppermint is their preferred holiday flavor. And hello, morons. You can do both. Put them on the tree and eat them. And
that's true.
Kudos to my wife who bought the Skittles flavored candy canes.
Oh, no, no, no.
Never made it to the tree.
Yeah.
They did not.
I think candy canes should be the flavor that they are. They should be peppermint. And calling them a food is ridiculous. They're not a food. They're
well,
a candy
Rob Spiewak, as it's John Tesh always says, blow it out your ass.
Thank if they're you. Not food, you might as well buy some out of like glass that you can just reuse every year.
Well, I do have some glass candy canes on my tree, but I did buy a box of Brock's brand candy canes yesterday because the tree looked a little barren without them. So I did
I put
get
them
some.
On the tree and then wait and see how many are left on Christmas.
It's also a really hard, it's a hard candy to eat because of the shape. And if you like try to keep the plastic on it while you eat it, it's always going to be sticky.
Never keep it. Never keep the plastic on. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this final story will have a Rob Spiewak impression at the very end. Are you ready?
Excellent. Yeah, good.
Some men married to Taylor Swift fans cannot deal with their wives' unwavering love for the pop star, and it can lead to blow-up fights, tears, and ultimately, we've been talking about it a lot on the show today, divorce.
Yes.
As the scorned Swifties feel empowered by the pop star's breakup anthems. Here's an example. Her name is Kristen Collins. She's 41. She said her ex-husband couldn't cope with her devotion to Taylor Swift and even blamed the songstress for the bad blood during their nine-year marriage. Here's her quote. Go ahead. Let's hear the quote, Rob.
Oh, I didn't.
No, what the lady said.
Oh, the lady said.
As I became more outspoken in our relationship about my feelings, her music was often blamed. Like maybe I was listening to too much Taylor Swift, she said, and ruminating about our problems. In 2021, she filed for divorce and has since renewed her vows to Swift, seeing the girlfriend of Chief star Travis Kelce in concert multiple times. There's another woman named Sarah.
Yeah.
She officially walked out on her husband in January. In June, her friends surprised her with a post-divorce trip to Swift's Eras Tour in London. This is what that lady said. She said, she played the smallest man who ever lived. And man, I shouted it at the top of my lungs. I had tears streaming down my face. It was painful. But it was so healing at the same time, she said.
Healing.
Now he does it. Now he does it at the end. That's good. That's it. That's the story. We'll take a break.
Let's do a promo here, Mike.
Oh, a promo coming. That's exciting.
Thank you.
Good timing. We'll have a little promo and then a little something and then a little something right here. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show to Woe. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey, chum, you won't be glum when you listen to the latest bonus show. Take it from this fella.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
The boys lay down some tips to have a marvelous holiday.
Don't do blow and think it's blow when it's heroin. That's a really good way to get an overdose. That's
don't
it.
Drink when you're pregnant. This is what we're teaching.
And Mike shares some tall tales of his college years.
I had three ribbons on my wiener.
Plus, it just wouldn't be Christmas without a miracle, and this one happens in the Sunshine State.
Hey. The Xfinity guy's outside.
I'm kind of excited he's here.
And don't forget to give the gift of a few yuckity yucks when you spend your bucks at the store at MikeOMaraShow.com. Gift some for dad now.
It's you.
Jim Amato does Bing Crosby. Might be my favorite impression of the holiday.
Are you sure that wasn't AI Bing Crosby?
Pretty incredible.
Sounded like it. A lot like him.
Some of that promo was really fine. Tis the season to win the coveted Spiewak fruitcake. This isn't your average Claxton. Not the ones that Rob told us you get at the hardware store. It's the next dimension. Time is running out. Only two fruitcakes remain for your bidding. You can easily bid at MikeOMaraShow.com. Look in the store. And if you can't stand the suspense, try our easy buy it now option. That's where you just C-block everybody that's bidding. You know the eBay drill. You don't be a piker, okay? Biker. Step up right now and take a chance on a fruitcake so delightful. Your taste buds will send you a thank you note. It's a secret recipe known by so few people. Twitch took the secret to his grave. Handmade with love and care and holiday magic. We'll have another winner this Thursday. Plus, here's the best part. A portion of the purchase price will be donated to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So the more you bid, the more we give to LLS. That's how it works. And that will truly make you feel merry this holiday season. Bid with confidence. Bid, 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 bid with confidence. Two more. And that's all she wrote, Pachango. Irish coffee not included.
It's a good pairing right there, Irish coffee and fruitcake. Mike, I got several of them landed yesterday. The winners that got theirs. And I got effusive messages from both of them talking about how happy they are with them and how great they are this year. Oh, so it's very exciting. Man, man. Anything in your mailbox yet, Mike?
Oh, that tells me one's coming. I'm excited. I'll let you know as soon as it arrives.
More than one. More than one. You get the ultra preferred treatment this year.
Oh, I am so excited. Thank you. Thank you, Rob Spiewak. I appreciate that.
And I sent Josh a slice.
That's fine. It'll be up on eBay this afternoon.
There you go. He's not a fruitcake guy. He's made that indelibly clear to us. Ray Romano.
Going to try it tomorrow.
You're going to try it. Very good. Ray Romano in the news for Rob Spiewak. He brought Ray Romano. I love Ray Romano. Hey, come on, Ray.
He always seemed like a regular guy.
There you go, Mom. Come on.
And you interviewed him when Raymond was in its second season out at Television City.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the most unpretentious, nicest, big celebrity ever. However.
Yes.
I wonder if he has some sort of project coming because he's sort of Tom Hanksing us.
Okay, what's the deal with Raymond?
I always, Mike, every morning the first thing I do is I go to People Magazine and I still take the hard copy. I don't download it.
Absolutely.
Ray Romano says, I'm forcing myself to rewatch all 9 seasons of Everybody Loves Raymond, and I like it.
Wow, releasing it somewhere?
I'm guessing he's trying to get his streaming numbers up because the whole story is, this is the quote, and it's so bad. He says, I was quite critical of it 20 years ago, but now that I look back on it, it's pretty good. I appreciated it. He says he happened upon it while he was looking at his streaming service.
Yeah, here's the deal. I think that the great ones, and Ray Romano, Everybody Loves Raymond counts, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
One of the top sitcoms
I think
of,
maybe
of
the last
time.
Truly great sitcom, maybe.
It really, and the great ones like Seinfeld, Cheers, they hold up.
They do. They really do. The Office.
The whole concept, and Seinfeld did this, the show about nothing, is exactly what it's about. It's so simple. It's like great cooking. It's like a great interviewer. It's like if you keep it simple, stupid, if you try to make it I'll give you an example. And I don't always use an excuse to bash Fallon, but Jimmy Fallon's show is just so many bells and whistles and BS.
Yeah, no substance. No
it's
substance.
It's just there's no if you keep it simple and then you cast it. There are two things. You cast it well, and then you keep it simple. The formula is simple, and you don't overthink the comedy. Look at the cast members of Seinfeld. Look at the cast members of Everybody Loves Raymond. Brad Garrett. You've got...
Oh, Doris Roberts.
Doris Roberts. And who was the guy that
Peter
played
Boyle.
His father?
Peter Boyle.
And
even like In-Laws, and when they brought in Robert's fiance, they were on Patty Heaton too, Mike.
It
she
even
was very
survived
good.
Patty Heaton, in my humble opinion.
Well, I don't know. I think as you look back, and Raymond will tell you that as you look back, it's better than you remember it. And Mike, this just in, he made this quote at the premiere of his new Netflix show, No Good Deed. So yes, he is releasing something. So he wants you to watch his new show and, of course, stream all the old Raymonds.
Well,
and Mike, here's the thing that makes me mad. Is after every episode he watches, he assigns it a percentage grade.
Really? On the scale of all of them?
Yep. From 1 to 100. He said he'd never... Also, he claims he never watched the show when it was on, and we know that's a lie.
No. See, I disagree with that.
No, I think that's true.
I think that's absolutely true. I think that that would be... I wouldn't. If I'm doing a sitcom, I wouldn't want to watch myself. I really wouldn't. I have never, you would have to pin me down, tie me down to have me watch anything old that I did on video.
Even commercials?
No, commercials I would do. Commercials, because it's online, I do watch that Merchant's Tire commercial where I played the fat guy. Shocker. Like that one. Fat guy.
Mike, he's at the end of season one. Here is his grading system that he's given himself and his show.
Okay.
He had 4 or 5 96s. That's the highest grade he gave, a 96%. I don't know why he's discounting at 4%, but he had a couple of 72s and 73s. But by the way, those are still passing grades.
All right. Well, so good luck to him. What's the new show called?
It is called No Good Deed.
No Good Deed.
He's and also he has a new...
Wait, hold on. What, Josh?
He's one step away from making his own watch podcast.
Hey, is it, by the way, I saw somebody online say, is it true that Rob's got like a 5-second delay?
No. That was a poor edit I did on Cold Medicine last
week. Because I certainly think he's engaged with what I'm saying right now in real time. I just want to make sure.
Except when when we needed the impression. There was a 5-second delay there.
That's a look.
I'm going to do a 5-second delay before I start calling you guys a-holes.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Josh and I both want to talk TV and movies. Recco from Josh and a comment on a smash hit television show that I'm watching again for me.
Is it called No Good Deed with Ray Romano?
Ray Romano, No Good Deed. Thank you for the plug again, Rob. I sincerely appreciate it. Don't I, Robert?
Yes, you do, Raymond. Boy, I tell you, I love Legacy Box, and you should too.
Yes.
If you got tons of stuff in your attic, in your garage, in a closet, an old closet full of old videotapes, photos, memories that you really like to share with the family, maybe people that have never seen them this Christmas, Better Homes and Gardens called Legacy Box the most sentimental gift to give this holiday season. There has never been a better time to preserve your past with Legacy Box. Convert your media to digital copies, get them all done, and then bring them to the Christmas gathering and
it's the best.
Show them to the family.
Yeah.
They'll always be protected from floods, mold, even the decay of time. Send in your Legacy Box filled with your old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand. They do it in the United States, and you'll get it back on the cloud or thumb drive along with your originals. Think of all the Christmas mornings you recorded. Relive those with the family this holiday season with Legacy Box. But my son is 11 years old, and he right now is extremely fascinated, not just with real history, which he loves, but also the history of the family. And, you know, just obsessed with how elderly his father is. You can now preserve the video of Rob
at that, Mike.
tenderly kissing his repaired jukebox. Aw, sweet. I finally got a closer look at your repairman, Pinball Paul.
Yeah.
He's good. He
Mike,
healthy.
I found out that for most of his career, he worked as a contractor for Chuck E. Cheese.
That's exciting.
Fixing all of their mechanical games and figures.
Yeah, before they killed the children.
That's right.
You've heard about Legacy Box all year, but now is the best time to digitize your memories. Hurry. This $9 deal won't last long. Head to legacybox.com/TMOS for early access to our best deal of the year. Don't wait. Secure your digitized memory by Christmas at legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS.
You'll agree with me. I think one of the greatest things about those old tapes that you have digitized is watching a kid watch themselves when they're little.
I love
and it. It's just fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it's
great.
The most adorable thing in the world. So,
Josh, you wanted to tell us about a Recco. You were concerned that it might have been released a while ago, but it actually wasn't. It was released in December, right?
Yeah, I found that it was the trailer date I was looking at earlier.
Okay.
There's lots of bad Christmas movies out there right now.
Mm-hmm. I've watched them all.
Yeah, Rob and I have commiserated on them.
Okay.
But right now, I watched a good movie yesterday.
Was it a Christmas movie or was it a regular movie?
No, it's a thriller horror movie.
Oh, hello.
I thought it was a French musical horror thriller.
Oh, that's the one that got nominated.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Perez.
It's called Subservience.
Ooh,
and
nice.
And it's Megan Fox starring in this.
Okay.
And she's... Fox as you would like her to be.
That answers that question for me. Thank you very
and
much.
She plays a AI like robot nanny.
Oh, that I'm in. That's all you need to say. That's it.
So she will do whatever it takes to keep her owner happy.
Really?
Hey now.
That's spectacular. How about that, huh?
But it's called Subservience. I think in the South, Mike, they're releasing it under the name Robot Nanny.
Yeah, sir. Lay that out at the old denominational gathering this weekend.
like any sci-fi movie, it's got its issues.
Yeah.
Sure, but it's very enjoyable.
How is it on the leave the credibility at home scale? Do you have to suspend disbelief a little bit to watch this?
No.
Okay.
No, you're fine. It takes
place.
Did
it make you want to hire a nanny?
Oh, I'll go buy that Megan Fox robot today.
Megan Fox. Me too. I feel the same way about her. And by the way, those days are not far away when it comes to technology. I think we are going to have robotics in homes that do a lot of things.
I thought, Mike, you were commenting on the career arc of Megan Fox becoming a nanny when you said that day is not far away.
By the way, I do believe that. Now, listen. I know everybody's going to say love slaves, all that type of thing. But I think really for household tasks, I'll give you a great example. Getting up to get something, right?
Yeah.
And don't we, or we do it now with questions with Alexa, and we say that. And by the way, sorry for people that are listening to this very loudly. Hey, Alexa.
Turn it up.
Let me do it. Capto interrupto. God. Hey, Alexa, tell me Megan Fox's measurements. See if it did it anywhere in this house. I don't know. We'll see what happens on yours at home. It should be great.
No, the selling point of the idea of a home robot is in the movie when the house is a mess, he goes, drops the kid off school and comes home and the house is perfectly clean. That's what you want a robot for.
You see, amen. Josh is at the age where he's past the sexual part. Now he just wants the clean house.
I don't think you can ever be past the sexual
part. That part comes later in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
It's there for you, Rob.
What's the title again?
Subservience.
I can't wait.
I think it came on Netflix over the weekend. So check it out.
Sometimes twice.
Real quick, for you as well as me, you Yellowstone fans out there, I have to say, look, I understand Kevin Costner was written off the show. I understand they knocked him off like in the first episode of part two of season five. I also understand enough with the depression.
Oh, boy.
Enough with the depression. Okay. This is my just sending this out. Now, I realize I don't know what I've read. They now are leaving open the door for the continuation to a certain extent of The Ranch. I don't know. I haven't read enough about it, what the plans are for Yellowstone, whether it's dead and buried completely or whether they might make another go of it. But I will say this. With John Dutton, the character played by the great Kevin Costner for years and years and years, it is, I think they've handled it with a great deal of skill. But then when they bumped off one of the ranch hands and you have that depression on top of it, it really was. And now you're selling off all the items on the ranch. It's just a trifecta of
sadness.
Pure depression that I think, and by the way, depression's fine, but you know what's better
it's
on
not,
television?
Though.
Revenge is better.
Yeah, you're
Revenge.
Right.
Revenge. Always trumps depression. So my advice to the people on Yellowstone, I certainly hope in the next episode, and you have to wait all week again to get it, please bring on the revenge. That's what
I think
I'm waiting for. Oh, it's coming.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, it's got to be coming.
Now, you see, I've tried Yellowstone a few times, and it doesn't appeal to me. And there's a million episodes going back, but I did watch the first episode.
It's kind of a guy's thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why I hate it, Mike. Don't think those go over my head. I know exactly where you're
going with that. I wasn't trying to send it over your head.
Mike.
I get it. It's a man's kind of thing. It really is. It's kind of a – there's a scene last night where Taylor Sheridan himself is featured in the scene where they go down.
He's getting backlash.
About the horse training thing where he's got the women in the pool?
Well, he's getting backlash for bringing a model onto the show to be his girlfriend on the show.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my. Well, I say yay to Taylor. Why not?
Boy, everybody? Mike, you sure are a manly man watching Yellowstone.
Yes, sirree, Mangina. Tell me all about it. Yes, sirree.
But the thing that I want is I watched the episode where they killed off Kevin Costner. Did you think it was I have a tape of it. Do you think it was handled poorly?
I think it was handled as well as they could with the circumstances they had with Kevin Costner bailing. I mean, I think they had no choice.
Can I play the tape? It just seemed a little ham-handed to me.
Let's listen to it, right? I knew he was going to do that.
I know, you played into it.
15 days for Christmas shopping.
15 days.
To fill the stocking.
15 days.
For Christmas shopping.
Only got 15 more. Mike?
All right.
Hi there.
Have you done your Christmas shopping? You better hurry up or...
you'll be sorry.
That's one of the best
ones. Doesn't
even
like us talking about it, Josh. Eliza does not even like us talking about Yellowstone.
How about this? I love Landman. And okay. It shares some ingredients.
It does.
I just 100%. Don't. I don't like the. I just don't like Yellowstone. I don't know what it is. I didn't like. Go ahead, Josh.
I understand because I watched the first season of Yellowstone, and then I bailed. It didn't capture me. It didn't excite me. Where Land
I can't
Man,
tell you
I
why
am
I like
all the
it.
Way in.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
And have you noticed that PBS is showing Swan Lake a lot, and it's just great.
Thank you. All right, but look, Beth Dutton. We get a lot of Beth Dutton in the last episode. Mm-hmm. I understand that Taylor Sheridan will get the blowback, but he has the gratuitous, lovelies on camera. And, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. It's a TV show, all right? Don't beat the guy up. Don't beat the guy up all the time. And I understand that he skews a little right. I get it. He does to a certain extent. But I think he's balanced in that regard. As people, by the way, online accusing me of slipping into the land of the right. No, I'm really not.
No.
Maybe I am. But
the girl that he hired to play his girlfriend, is she also balanced?
I thought she
balanced?
Was an actress. I thought she was an actress.
Bella Hadid.
Oh, Bella Hadid.
Hadid. Yeah.
There we go. It was
I
her.
Was wondering if that was Bella Hadid, and yep. I thought she did a decent job of by the way.
A decent job of playing strip poker.
I think, but she had a line. She had lines with Beth Dutton, and I will say, Bella Hadid.
Yeah.
By the way, model actress is not a term that's unheard of.
You're
okay?
Right.
Is Taylor Sheridan really getting crap for hiring Bella Hadid to be
in
that?
Because of making her his girlfriend in the show.
Awesome. Wouldn't you if you could, right?
I have,
you
know? Mike, I do have a tape of
it's
Bella
not the
Hadid.
First time we've heard count
on us for all your oriental rug cleaning needs. Just one call to
Bella
Hadid.
Bella Hadid.
Stand on
we stand behind it.
We stand behind it. Here's the best part. I think he's still in business, Joe.
That's
Joe Buddy.
Really? Is he?
I think so, yeah.
I'd have to have, I hear from Jay Rosenberg occasionally, so I'll have to ask whether he's still in business.
He's Mike, if you have an old rug that needs to be rejuvenated.
Yes.
Or as I like to say, rejuvenated. That's the place to go.
Yeah, I believe my friend Jay Rosenberg is over in Miami. Shocker. Anyway, we have to take a break. When we come back, it's some beautiful video.
We have ladies. Beautiful video here today.
Gentlemen. And more fun and more thrills. What's that movie, Recco, again, that I'll be watching tonight?
Subservience.
Yeah? Subservience with Megan Fox playing a robot nanny. Oh, my
robot God. Nanny movie.
Robot nanny movie. Oh, my God. Am I really 65? I don't think so. Hey, everybody, listen up. Don't miss out. It's the 2024 Mike O'Mara Show Christmas Ornament. Your house will look extra festive. By the way, all the decorations on the tree now at the O'Mara household. We
you got the tree
excited.
Done finally.
My wife did. Got to give her full credit. I had
great.
Nothing to do with it. It was done when I came home. Now, that's the little one, right?
That's the little mini one.
Pull it back towards your face so we see how tiny it is.
Yep.
Look at that.
Bump it on your forehead.
Put it in your mouth. No, anyway. Your house will look extra festive when you deck the halls with us. You can bring holiday cheer to every American with this mini replica of the iconic TMOS campfire mug, which is another great keepsake.
It is.
Display them both side by side, big and small, just like Jiminy Cricket and Pinocchio. So give a little whistle and always let your conscience be your guide. It's perfect for decorating the tree, the office, or any place that needs a touch of show spirit. It comes with a short piece of twine, so it's ready to hang.
You I changed hang that read us? For you, Mike.
Yeah. And comes Stan. Thank you. Little things. Once again, Mike O'Mara, sweating things that don't matter. Why are you calling it a what did you call
a
it
loop
before?
A loop ready for hanging.
A ready for loop. Hanging loop.
Custom loop.
Custom loop. That's what you called it. It comes standard in a Holly Jolly gift box that you can eat. Get one for yourself and for a loved one. Act fast. Supplies are extremely limited. Make your set complete. Remember to buy your 2024 TMOS Christmas ornament at MikeOMaraShow.com. And not only makes a great shot glass, you can use it with water and a full packet of liquid IV for a very strong lemon-lime experience.
It's Mike,
a slurry.
It's tangy. It really
lemon-lime
is.
Slurry you can drink. Eat. It's a real piss missile. The Yamoa's holiday mug is non-denominational, so it can never offend, which is nice. Isn't it nice? I think so. It's nice. All right, play your thing. Okay. We're ready. Take
it's
it away.
A piss missile. Piss
hey, missile. I like Slurry. That. Some beautiful video.
Oh, Dan Ingram.
Dan Ingram. Music ball.
So none of us, as far as I can tell, are going to be doing any air travel over the holidays. Is that the case?
God, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, good, good. But Josh, don't you have like unlimited tickets? Can't you fly anywhere you want?
Yeah, you want a visitor?
No, I don't want a visitor. Well, yeah, you know what? Feel free. Come on
should
up.
Should I hand deliver the fruitcakes?
Yeah.
I think that would be nice. Absolutely. I mean, all he has to do is call. Is it, what was the name of the airline again? Was it Frontier?
Frontier.
Yeah, Mike, mm-hmm. He can fly anywhere on Frontier for the next like 11 months. It's great.
That's really cool.
I think till February. That.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, well, get out there and get a good vacay in there.
Might yeah, you know what? Valentine's Day is really going to be something. Mm-hmm. But if you're stuck on a plane, and I think that we've all probably experienced delays. The worst delay ever is when I was trying to fly to France. They kept us on the tarmac for 7 hours and then deplaned us and sent us to a hotel. It was horrible. But
I forgot that. Wow.
But what if someone is kind enough on your plane to help do something to entertain you? This would make me so uncomfortable, and it's so cringy. This guy thought that what they needed to do was go into the overhead compartment, pull out his saxophone, and entertain. And no reaction from the other audience. Look.
Well, it's mediocre, remedial yeah, it's horrible. Sax playing. Yeah.
Here's a good part.
Oh, they're getting into it now.
But that's the most non-committal singing I've ever heard.
At least it's Christmas.
Now, does he do multiples?
All they posted was Jingle Bells. So what I envision in my head, Mike, is there was probably a four-hour delay, and he played Jingle Bells 87 times because that's probably all he knows.
You know what I can't get out of my head? I think it would be really entertaining if the AI Megan Fox nanny stood up and entertained the crowd some way. That I don't know what's wrong with me. So, I mean, you know, look, if you don't look, you die. That's it. That's all I can say about it. You know?
And I can't talk about Nikki Glaser at all?
Well, I mean, it's the context.
That movie context. Ended last night. And I said to my wife, Michael loved that movie.
I don't know whether to be happy or sad about that. Yeah. I really do.
He finished the movie and he turned to his wife. He said, Rob's a bastard. So
stop beating yourself up, boy.
Thank you, boy, dear. Mm-hmm. Here's something that has always troubled me. Do you go through the exercise of putting your phone in airline mode or airplane mode when you fly?
Very rarely. I'm not proud of that, but I should do it more often, but I don't. Actually,
it's
I forget,
not as
really.
Bad as they used to tell us, but there's still a reason.
This is just a friendly PSA that the airplane mode button on your phone is not a conspiracy. So if you forget to put your phone on airplane mode, no, it's not the end of the world. The plane will not fall out of the sky, and it won't even mess with the systems on board. However, it does have the potential to mess with the headsets. If you have an aircraft with 70, 80, 150 people on board, and even three or four people's phones start to try to make a connection to a radio tower for an incoming phone call, it sends out radio waves. There's the potential that those radio waves can interfere with the radio waves of the headset that the pilots are using. Last night in San Francisco, we had pushed off the gate, we were talking to the rampers, we disconnected from the tug, started the engines, and then once we got the plane turned around, we started headed towards the taxiways, and I called up ground to get our clearance as to which direction we had to go. And as soon as we start getting the directions, there's like this really annoying buzz going through the headset, and it kind of sounds like there's a mosquito in my ear. Like I said, it's not end of the world, but it's definitely pretty annoying when you're trying to copy down instructions and it sounds.
So yeah, I'm done. I'm reason. Down with it. Then I'm going to remember because you know what? That's the best explanation I have ever heard of it. And that's a guy
I thought you'd
that
like
I
that,
paid
yeah.
attention to. He's just chill. And that's very cool. I like that.
The other thing that can mess with the airline's radio is that guy's forehead. So watch out for that.
I love that explanation. I think that was really cool. I like
all right,
that.
This
it's
to
way
me
better than trying to tell us the plane's going to crash.
Yeah, which is really what they were talking about in days of old. You know who the first person to violate that on a regular basis was? Charlie Broyhill.
Yeah, well, he would have his
he loved like, his gadgets
during takeoff.
Yes,
with Charlie Broyhill when the whole headphones attached to the phone thing came into existence, he would love to say, "Well, what do you mean?"
Yeah.
And he knew somebody was going to talk to him, and you'd say, I didn't mean anything. And he'd point to the headphones.
I know.
That was his big thing.
I know.
That he's and like, you know what? It was,
he was, you always flatter me, Mike. You say I'm fun to travel with.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie was not.
No.
And so what I like, he's a former producer of our show, Josh. And what I used to do is I would talk to the flight attendants and have them welcome him to different cities because it drove him crazy on landing.
Yeah, he hated it.
He really did. We want to say welcome to Charlie Broyhill to Houston, Texas.
He'd look at Rob, bastard.
And I'd be like drunk.
I thought you were getting them to say the wrong city.
No, the wrong city's
fun also.
That's also
fun. By the way,
fun.
We used to play the PA game also.
Oh, yeah.
In the airports. Major Woody. Yes. Huge erection, you know, that type of thing.
Red courtesy phone.
Yeah, even there's when I'm with videos, my family. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's fun videos now going around of the Peloton trainers because they always praise the leaderboard.
Yeah.
And people are making names up to get the Peloton people to say inappropriate names.
Can you possibly bring one of those in for us tomorrow?
I'll bring one tomorrow.
That. Thank you
I like
so much.
That. I like that. And Mike, let's close with this. I think a lot of people have been giving me a little bit of a bad feeling because they say I'm making fun of Dolly too much and the way she talks now.
Yes, I agree. Now, I'm one of those people.
I agree.
Yes.
I love Dolly. I do, but she needs to get some polygrip or maybe
So you go and do it again.
Polygrip.
You go and do it.
No, but I take it, Mike, because sometimes polygrip's not enough. You got to go super.
This is terrible.
But let's go back, Mike, 30 years. And this is amazing. I ran into this clip just because Dolly is still happening. She is right now trying to cast a Broadway musical based on her, a jukebox musical. They're trying to find someone to play her. So she's still in the news. 30 years ago, she was the top 10 list topic on Letterman. And I want you to see Dolly 30 years ago, and she hasn't changed that much.
Okay.
These are the top 10 things that annoy Dolly Parton. And I think we pick it up at about number 5 here. Look at Dave. Just messing with his hair. Now, all this time they've got Dolly on satellite.
It's like my goofy cousin is hosting the show tonight. Hello, I'm Dave's cousin, Kenny. Dave was smoking a cigar and had to go home early. So Dave asked, could I fill in? Oh, man, where the hell are we? Have we done all 10 yet? Number 5.
A rhinestone rash.
Yeah, okay. Number 4.
Whenever
Number 4.
Visit, okay.
Go
whenever
ahead.
You ready?
Let's just go home, Dolly.
Okay.
Number 4.
Okay, when he visits Dollywood gift shops, Garth Brooks always shoplifts stuff under that big hat of his. Yeah, let's do go home.
It's Letterman's fault.
Yeah.
Dolly been smoking her own self. Number 3.
Okay, smart ass MCs who introduced me by saying, and now here they are, Dolly Parton.
Number 2.
When the Super Bowl is over, winner never says, hey, I'm going to Dollywood.
That's right. And now, the number 1 Dolly Parton pet peeve.
Nobody notices I've got a great ass, too.
I just like that. And you know what, Dolly? You are great. And
there you go. That's
I think she's sensational. Has been forever. So there you
All
go.
All right. Fantastic, Dolly. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. More fun and more thrills as we are chock-a-block with Christmas spirit on this show, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll try to fix my printer. And that usually is a code for take a dump, but this time my printer really is
And also,
broken.
Mike, this Christmas season, remember those who have parents who are unmarried.
Don't be a bastard, Rob.
Too late.
We'll see you tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Taroka, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Gary Krimble, folk.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
The power of Christ compels you!
And I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women.
That Exorcist tape is my favorite.